All right, welcome to the free stretch here on JoeBucksFan.com. I am Bobby Fenton. It's a week 14 edition of the show. It feels weird to even say week 14. It's going by so fast, like football season always does. But we are here now with five games to go, and the Bucks out of the bye week so far have done what they needed to do and won their first two games since the bye. And as we speak here on this Thursday afternoon when I record, they are 6-6, tied atop the NFC South with the Atlanta Falcons. Of course, we all know about that tiebreaker the Bucks don't have. Five games to go, the first of which is this weekend, Sunday, 1 p.m., Raymond James Stadium. One of three home games left. The Las Vegas Raiders come to town, and the Bucks, much like against the Giants and much like the Panthers, just need to do something workmanlike and get the job done one way or the other. Style points don't matter. And that's certainly a good thing, because if style points mattered, this past Sunday would have been a loss. It was not good at all, the Bucks' effort. And quite honestly, I'm going to talk about today on the show, we always talk about process and results. I talk about it with my kids. We talk about it here on this show. There's what actually happens, what you end up with, the actual result. And then there's what did you actually do and how did you do it. And the Bucks got to win, okay? And it's amazing how the result changes the whole tone of what we're talking about, because what the Bucks did on Sunday, if not for Anthony Nelson making one of the most clutch plays of the season, forcing the Chuba Hubbard fumble when it looked like the Panthers were about to have a little chip shot field goal to beat the Bucks and lose the game, all of a sudden he forces that fumble and the Bucks win instead. And if he hadn't done that, we would be absolutely ripping the Bucks today for a litany of things that happened in that game on Sunday, and they all still happen. That's the thing about results. They don't actually change what the process was. They just make you see it differently, make your perspective change, but they don't actually change what happened. And the Bucks didn't deserve to win that game on Sunday, but they got it done one way or the other. Somebody made a play, and they are now 6-6 in a game they just could not afford to lose. But this is what I told you guys. All these teams on the schedule, oh, they're bad, this, that, and the other. It's going to be easy. We'll just go reel off 5 out of 6, 6 out of 7. One day you can do it, but for 7 in a row, it's stuff like that. I mean, the Bucks were really fortunate, and they did it, so you know that could still happen again. The Raiders game could be a lot tougher than we think. They got to play the Panthers again, who are resurgent. The Saints aren't terrible. Obviously, the Chargers are literally good. That's next week. We'll worry about them. And then the Cowboys, same thing. So that's where we're at right now. So let's look back briefly at the way it went on Sunday before we look ahead to the Raiders game. And I'm never going to complain about a win, especially a division win on the road, even though, like I said, we would have lots to complain about if we wanted to. But the Bucks came out a little bit flat. And listen, Carolina's not bad, okay? They're not, all these teams, I know Bill Parcells' old term was, you are what your record says you are. That's never been true, okay? It's only true in the standings. Yes, on the standings, I can look at the standings. You are what your record says you are. It doesn't matter if you deserve to have a better record or deserve to have a worse record. You are what your record says you are. But when looking at what a team presents, looking forward, like predictive things, no, teams are not what their records say they are, okay? And that Carolina team's a perfect example. That was not a 3-8 football team. They're playing better. Bryce Young, after having gotten benched, is resurgent. And those guys have not mailed it in any way whatsoever. And that's a decent football team. And then when the Bucks play them again in Tampa, it's going to be a tough game. Okay? And with that said, the Bucks are better, and they should win a game like that. They came out flat. They couldn't get a lot of, you know, going early. It's always kind of a nondescript, boring, like, hard-to-get-up-for atmosphere to me whenever the game is in Charlotte. Like that, Charlotte, to me, I'm not ripping the city. It's a bland city. It's a bland stadium. It's just a bland, just all the at Carolina game every year is just kind of like the least memorable. I can't even remember anything from any Bucks at Carolina game. I think I remember like one of the primetime games. I think they had somebody had a nice catch or something. Antonio Bryant, maybe. Like nothing. Like Carolina is the most nondescript place ever. And so I can see how teams come out flat there, not just the Bucks. But the Buccaneers had a few chances early on to increase their lead, couldn't do it. The offense wasn't having a good day. Baker Mayfield did not have a good day. I mean, he really, in fact, if you want to talk about a stat, he had a 9.6 QB rating for the game. That is the lowest of any quarterback in any game that the team still actually won this entire 2024 NFL season. And the really bad part of it to me is right before halftime, when the Bucs have the ball and they're kind of driving, trying to get some points before the half. I'm trying to think of what the scenario was, because they were, let me think of the exact score. I'm looking it up right now. Okay, yeah, the Bucs were up 10-3, I believe, at the time. Trying to make it 13-3, if I'm not mistaken. I may be wrong about that. But we've got the ball kind of near midfield. There's like a little over a minute left. And you're thinking, okay, let's engineer a drive here, get some points before the half, make something happen. So what happens? Bake throws a middle school flag football. Like, for those of you who have kids that play Under Armour, Under the Lights flag football, just a middle school flag football bad type of throw. A double clutch, like pump fake, but then I still throw it to that same spot anyway, and just gifts Carolina an interception. And it's like, just that alone, you're like, oh, you know, we just lost 3 points probably. And at that time, maybe you thought the Bucs could score a touchdown, but at least 3 points. But then not only that, then Bryce Young comes out and he engineers the exact, you know, 2 minute drill just before the half, let's get a quick score before the half type of drive that we thought we were going to get from Bake. They get it instead. And it felt bad, man. It felt bad. And all day long, I mean, he had the touchdown to Mike Evans, which, by the way, Mike Evans, it was only, it wasn't a huge yardage thing there at the goal line, but the Bucs have one of the best, I think they're number 3 in the NFL in red zone offense this year. And I know they've been without Godwin and Evans a little bit lately, but overall, one of the reasons for that stat, one of the reasons the Bucs are one of the better red zone teams is because a guy like Mike Evans is such a weapon in a red zone situation where Mayfield just throws the ball up. The guy covering Evans did a great job. He was right on him, but Evans is 6'5", and his arms, his wingspan feels like it's like 8'5", and he reaches up with one hand with these tacky gloves they have, and just, yep, no problem. I mean, he's literally fending off the guy with one long arm, uses the other long arm, reaches up, catches the ball with one hand, corner of the end zone. What can you do? Like, you can't do anything about that if you're the Carolina defender. And Mayfield doesn't have to be precise, just puts it up there. That got the Bucs on the board early. And then the offense kind of sputtered after that for quite a while. But to me, I was like writing the eulogy of this game and thinking about what I was going to say as I was watching it. And then, of course, the Bucs won, so we don't have to do that now. But to me, a huge play in the game, the thing that kind of got me the most, that left the worst taste in my mouth of all the things that happened in that game, was when the Bucs were driving at the end of the game, and they're up 17-16, and you know if they score a touchdown, they're going to go up 8 points, so then all Carolina can do at the very best is force overtime, and even then they have to score a touchdown and make the two. Felt like real slim odds. I'm thinking to myself, okay, right here, score a touchdown. Or you could even go for two. If you score that touchdown, you're up 7 before the try. Some teams say, let's go for two and make it 9 and end the game right here, and if we miss, we're still up 7. We're still probably going to overtime if they score. But they might have done that. I don't know. Point is, they have 3rd and 1 from the 2. So ideally, you just score whatever, fine, but ideally, you could even like get the yard and have 1st and goal from the 1, and then you can run more plays and either make Carolina burn their timeouts or burn actual clock or whatever. Just get the yard. And so they go unbalanced left. They load up the left side of the line of scrimmage. They've got like 46 people on the left side of the line, and you're thinking, hey, Carolina can't stop this, man. We just need a yard. Just get the, I don't even want them to score. I want them to get tackled right at the first down mark, and we can get a fresh set of downs. And so they hand the ball off. It was Rashad White in there. Everybody's going, why isn't Rashad White in there? We later found, why isn't Bucky Irving in there? Of course, Bucky Irving had the injured hip. Although as good as Bucky is, and he's been awesome, Rashad White has done great too. And I don't think that like it's been a comparison where White's been poor and Bucky's been great. I think White's been really good and Bucky's just been really, really good. But he had the hip thing. That's why he wasn't in there. And it didn't matter on that play. Rashad White's not the reason that play lost 4 yards, which to me, that was the defining play of the game if we lost. What happened on the play? Go back and watch it. And you heard the announcers saying they didn't like the play call. They didn't like pulling guards on the goal line, which I understand that. But that wasn't even the reason. The reason is Payne Durham got absolutely blown up And his blocker, or the man he was supposed to block, was in the backfield within a tenth of a second of the ball being snapped. That's the reason the play didn't work. Not scheme, not the wrong kind of concept, not Rashad White in there instead of Bucky Irving. Payne Durham just got destroyed. Now, let me say this, because it sounds like I'm ripping Payne Durham. Payne Durham had an outstanding game as a blocker on Sunday. It was just that one play. So, it sucks, but it's football. It happens. But on that play, he just got beat, and he'd be the first to tell you. And so the whole play blows up. Now all of a sudden we're kicking a field goal and leaving them plenty of time and timeouts to come back. And I always hate being up by – I'd rather be up three in a way than four or six, because when you're up three, now they're thinking – and they still want to score a touchdown, but now they're thinking, well, hey, we have no choice. And they're going balls out. Like, they're it's touchdown or bust. And they're calling plays more aggressively and differently. If a fourth down comes up, they're going to go for it instead of take the field goal. Whereas if you're up three, they're kind of like, okay, we're in field goal range. We can tie this. So I hated it. I hate going – I mean, you should do it. I'm not saying the Bucs should have gone for it. But I hate going from up one to up four, or going from up three to up six. When your offense has that ball and you're down there inside that five-yard line, you got to punch that in. And they didn't. And so what happened? Well, exactly what we thought would happen. The defense completely just melted. Carolina sliced and diced them, scores the game-winning touchdown. I thought, although they left too much time for the Bucs offense. So it's 23-20 Carolina now. And let's give Baker Mayfield some credit, because even in a game where you don't play well, and even in a game where you have a 9.6 QB rating, and even in a game where it's not your best day, you can still make individual plays here and there that are crucial. And the Mayfield scramble to pick up the first down, when he couldn't find anybody open, the pocket kind of collapsed, but there was a lane to run through. He runs up the sideline, reaches the ball forward, gets the first down. Huge play. Huge play. And so they end up, from that point, getting a few more yards. And Chase McLaughlin, who did miss earlier, but who's been rock solid all year, makes the one he needs to make to get it to overtime. And so, okay, we're in overtime. Then they're going to go screw up overtime. You know, they win the toss. We always say, can we win a toss for once in overtime? It always seems like we go to overtime, we lose the toss, other team gets the ball, scores a touchdown, Bucks never touch the ball, we lose. Hey, we won one. All right, here we go. We can do that to somebody else now. Of course, they don't get the touchdown. Then Carolina's moving the ball at will, again, on the Bucks defense. Then they're in field goal range. Game over. I mean, I was so mad. I was on a cruise, okay? I'll tell you the story about that in a minute. But we were watching this game on a cruise ship, and it was me and my, you know, wife and two kids, and then we were with another family who's my son's friends with and plays baseball with, and, you know, that I'm friends with the dad. We're all watching this game. We're getting ready to sit down to dinner. I'm pissed. Anthony Nelson forces the fumble. Could be the fumble that ends up saving the Bucs season, or we'll look back and say, oh, yeah, we should have known the Bucs weren't that good all along. Maybe they'll collapse down the stretch. But if they somehow do make the playoffs, we'll look back at that play. And I felt bad for Chuba Hubbard. I never like to win because somebody else made a mistake, although I wouldn't even say it was a mistake by Hubbard. It was a really good strip by Nelson. And then Yaya goes and picks it up. I'm freaking out. Like, did you see Yaya try to do the scoop and score? Which I wanted him to do, by the way, because I wasn't sure our offense would be able to do anything. So he goes for the scoop and score, bobbles it just for a split second. This is literally the game in his hands. If he doesn't come up with that football, Carolina still wins. So after he bobbles it, luckily it didn't get away from him, he thinks the better of it and says, screw this, I'm falling on it. Like, I tried to pick it up and go, couldn't get the handle on it, plops right down, Bucks ball. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Then they get down there, Rashad White with a big, 34-yard carry, I believe, and gets him down inside the 10 again. McLaughlin hits, and the Bucks win somehow in a game that, man, you got to be just sick if you're Carolina, because they really should have had that game several times over. But the Bucs made enough plays. Oh, I forgot. I forgot Trenton Gill's been released already, so there's no need to, like, kick dirt on someone when they're down. But, yeah, the Trenton Gill bad kickoff, missing the landing zone, setting them up. Both Carolina touchdowns, they only scored two, were set up by, one, a bad punt from Trenton Gill, and then, two, a bad kickoff from Trenton Gill. He's been released. It's now Jack Browning from the practice squad, who's a San Diego State guy, who's the Bucs punter this week, for whatever that's worth. But anyway, Anthony Nelson, huge play. Baker Mayfield, when he needed to make one, huge play. Rashad White and Bucky Irving, the run game was outstanding. I mean, Liam Cohen, I don't think he had his best day play calling or anything like that, but and give Bucky and Rashad White tons of credit for the way they run, but also give this offensive line credit and give just the scheme of the running game credit for Liam Cohen. It's kind of jarring to watch. If you remember, it seems like a million years ago now, but it wasn't long ago when we were sitting on this show and everybody all around town in the paper, on Twitter, sports talk radio, whatever, was all bemoaning just how incredibly anemic the Bucs running game was. Like, they couldn't get 2 yards of freaking carry. And now, like, and I've never been a running game guy. I like pass, you know, running to me is not efficient. It's something you do when you're trying to bleed clock. It shouldn't be a way, like, you, like, move the ball down the field. You have to get the ball down the field. That's always been my belief. I actually get excited. It's the first time in my life I've ever felt this way. I actually get excited when Baker Mayfield takes the snap and turns and that makes that handoff motion. Just the same way I used to get excited when, like, Tom Brady would stick his back foot in the ground and, like, climb the pocket, and you know he's got something. He's getting ready to let it rip. That's how I feel about a running game now. Like, a running play is getting me excited. Like, that's unheard of, if you know me. But every time we hand the ball off, you feel like there's a gap there. You feel like our running backs are going to feel the hole, make a little cutback lane, whatever it is. And they do. And the Bucs running game carried them on Sunday when they needed it the most. And that was what it was able to help them outlast Carolina. And, of course, the defense. Give the defense credit. I mean, the defense, you know, they played. Actually, I have the numbers right here. And I know they can't play man all game. But the zone defense all year long, I've been saying they cover blades of grass, they don't cover guys. I mean, how many times do you see, like, our zone defenders and they're kind of standing in an area and there's a receiver, like, probably like 2 or 3 steps away, just kind of there, and then he's not covered, they hit him with the pass, then our guys converge on him. It's like, no, you can, even in zone defense, you still cover people, not blades of grass. You just cover the people in your zone, but you don't just stand in an area and kind of patrol. You have to go cover the guy. So Bryce Young, he had 46 pass attempts in that game on Sunday. All right. Against man, which the Bucs did run some of the time, 14 times, in fact, that he threw on a man defense the Bucs ran, Bryce Young was 3 of 14. I repeat, 3 of 14 for 50 yards. 56 yards, excuse me. Okay. The other 32 passing attempts against zone, 23 of 32. For 242 yards and, of course, the go-ahead touchdown at what seemed to be almost the end of regulation. So one more time, just so you soak that in. Bryce Young versus the Bucs man defense on Sunday, 3 of 14, 56 yards. Against zone, 23 of 32, 242 yards and a touchdown. And Todd Bowles, of course, was asked about it in his Monday press conference earlier in the week, and he said, well, you know, a lot of it just kind of depends on the situation. We don't sit here and say we're going to run any defense X amount of times or X percentage of the time or whatever you want to call it. It just kind of situation dependent, and we can't run man all game, and I know that. But you can maybe run it a little more. I mean, it ain't like this was some just weird statistical anomaly on Sunday. The Bucs' zone defense gets carved up constantly. And he also said the pass rush, it's not just the secondary. He's right about that. But if you don't have the pass rush, I mean, zone defense gets way harder when you don't have a pass rush because those guys will find holes. You got to get somebody after the quarterback, and the Bucs haven't really been able to do that this year. And to me, I mean, right now we're not focused on it because we're in the middle of a dogfight here. The season still matters. Bucs are trying to win the division. Bucs are trying to make the playoffs. Once this is all over, whatever happens, and we start looking at the draft, to me, wherever you end up drafting, I hope it's in the 20s or lower and not the teens. I really do. But wherever it is, they spend months and like thousands of man hours on draft prep. Just go to one of these websites, print out top pass rushers, just sort by position, and then take the best pass rusher that's still there when you pick. I don't even care who it is, period. Take that guy. And the Bucs have a lot of needs, okay? It's not just that. You can't draft them all at once. That would be my number one issue to address in the draft coming up in 20. If we win the Super Bowl, that'll be true. Okay, I don't know what's going to happen the rest of the year, but we've got to get more pass rush. The secondary, of course, injuries are a big factor. And hey, lo and behold, another guy got hurt Sunday. Safety Mike Edwards is out this week. In fact, as far as practice today, and again, I'm recording this early afternoon on Thursday. So for the media portion that everybody gets to see of the Thursday practice, Tyke Smith was out there practicing. That's big because now you can use him and Izzian, and you still have Jamel Dean, and you have Zion. And Bucky practiced. You know, Bucky Irving had the hip thing. That's why he wasn't in there late. He hurt it returning a kick, by the way, which I love him returning kicks. But still, if he's your best guy or one of your best guys, you have to find somebody else to return kicks. You know, the injury thing is too much. You can't risk that. But anyway, he was out there today. Safety Mike Edwards did not practice. Linebacker KJ Britt did not practice. And they both look to be out probably, although I'm not, that's not official, but that's the way it's heading. New wrinkle, Mike Evans. We all know his hamstring's been a thing. Now he's got a calf thing. So he took it easy today. Not necessarily going to be out, but he didn't practice today. Tristan Wirfs, who played his ass off coming back sooner than we all thought from that knee injury, doesn't mean he's just good to go. He didn't practice again today because of the knee. And so I think with him, they're just taking it easy. I'm not saying I don't think he's going to play. You know, some guys are not practicing because they're out, and others are just, you know, they're letting him heal. Baker Mayfield's another one. I mean, he took it easy today. And, you know, he got that stepped on the back of his foot thing. He's going to play. He said himself, I'm good. Just, you know, they're kind of giving him a little bit of a rest. So that's where we're at injury-wise. The Bucs have re-signed. Safety Kayvon Merriweather, who was with them, then released, was on the Lions practice squad. Now signed back to the Bucs. Also, Ryan Neal is back. And he was already, he hasn't played this year for anybody. He's been living in Tampa and knows the defense. And that's where we're at right now with the secondary. It's been so many damn injuries. So he's back in the fold as well. And the Bucs will have to figure it out against what is not a great passing attack in the Las Vegas Raiders with Aiden O'Connell as the starter. But I'll tell you what they're good at, and it's, you know, something the Bucs have been beaten up by with other teams, so it's an issue, is hitting their tight end. Brock Bowers, the Georgia rookie, who's been having a great year for the Raiders, and again, they don't have a ton of firepower outside of that, but that is something, of course, the Bucs are going to have to keep an eye on. Other tight ends have had a lot of success against the Buccaneers, and the Bucs are going to have to make sure Brock Bowers isn't one of them, because that's one of the only ways this Raiders offense should be able to do anything on Sunday, because they don't really have any other weapons outside of Bowers. I guess Jacoby Myers maybe, but they've really struggled this year. First of all, they've lost 8 in a row. They've turned it over 23 times. That's the most in all of football. 12 interceptions, 11 fumbles. They've only forced 5 turnovers on the defensive side. They've allowed 41 sacks. That's 6th worst in the NFL. And yet, on Black Friday, maybe if you have Amazon Prime, you were sitting in your house or on your phone or anywhere, and you happen to see the Raiders playing the Chiefs, and despite all those things I just told you, what happened in that game? Raiders were about to kick a field goal to beat the Chiefs and then botched a snap. They didn't have their act together. I mean, they totally botched the end of the game. Even worse, on Thanksgiving, you saw how bad it was for the Bears on Thanksgiving. I thought what the Raiders did was just as bad, if not worse. And so they never even got to attempt the game-winning field goal. But they came within an itty-bitty hair of beating one of the best teams in the NFL. So you know, they could lose 50 in a row. I tell you this all the time. It's still tough when you play them the 51st one, okay? Any one of these teams can jump up, especially if you don't play well, and beat you. But yes, they are not a good team. 2-10, like I said, losers of 8 in a row since they started out 2-2. The Bucs, for their part, at 6-6. Just won 2 games in a row for the first time since weeks 1 and 2. But, again, a Raiders team here that is a little bit extra rested because they played on Friday as opposed to the Bucs Sunday. That's not nothing. Don't discount that. And a team that we know can at least keep things close against really good teams. And that's against really good teams. Don't think for a second they can't do it against the Buccaneers. Bucs will be in red with pewter pants, which should be like a uniform we see all the time, and yet it's the first time we've seen it this year. But it's their best look. Never, ever, ever wear the white pants. I hate the white pants, and I don't like when people like the white pants because it's so inferior. No matter what color jersey, the Bucs should always wear pewter pants, but the red jerseys with white pants look so preseason and crappy, and I don't understand why anybody likes it. But anyway, they won't be wearing that this week. It's the traditional, good, normal Bucs uniform. And it'll be a red out, they're saying, if you're going to the game. My son's got a baseball tournament this weekend. And for those of you that play travel baseball, you know how it works. Like, you play your games on Saturday. And it could be any time during the day. Then on Sunday, you play single elimination starting in the morning. And if you keep winning, then you keep playing. If they lose early, that frees up plenty of time to head over to RJS. If they keep winning, then I'll be watching from my phone at some ballpark somewhere in the area. And hey, It's never my preference, but I was able to do it. I was telling you about the cruise. So we went on a cruise. We were, you know, Thanksgiving with family, but then on Black Friday, we left for a cruise that came back on Monday, a little short three-day thing. And for those of you that, I'm not a huge cruise guy, but my family does it every once in a while. It's fun. I don't like being isolated away from sports, though. And this was a huge football weekend, as you know, not just with the NFL, but with college football and everything going on. So I was prepared. You know, I brought my laptop and we bought the Wi-Fi package and all the things you have to do. But these cruise ships, here's the thing. All right. They make, if I have one criticism, and I know it's a very niche thing and a lot of people probably don't care that are going on cruises from all over the world, but they make no effort or attempt to keep you connected, like sports-wise. Like, you think, oh, they'll have ESPN on in my room like any other hotel. Well, they actually do have ESPN and ESPN2, but guess what you get on a cruise ship? You get the Caribbean version of ESPN and ESPN2. So there might be a massive football game going on that you're dying to watch, and you turn it on, ESPN, you know, hoping, oh, surely college football will be on, right? No, it's Bangladesh versus the West Indies in cricket on a Saturday afternoon. Because you're not getting this, even though it's got the ESPN logo down there, it's not really that ESPN. It's just, they put all their sports on one thing. So that happened, of course. And even though there were some football games, like randomly selected football games on in my stateroom, for the most part, I had to use my phone. So luckily with the Wi-Fi package, I happen to know how to avail myself legally and illegally of whatever football game I need to watch. And if it's on ESPN or if it's on any network that you have the app for and you have cable, which this is where having cable comes up big, I just use my Spectrum login and I can watch ESPN on my phone. I can watch, you know, the Michigan, Ohio State on Fox on my phone. I can, well, even Spectrum itself has an app where you can watch games on your phone. But if it's like the Bucks game, that's a little tougher now because that's not a national TV game. That's regional. That wasn't on anything. Then I had to go the pirate route. It was fitting since we were sailing the Caribbean waters that I was pirating football on my phone. So we, like I said, we're going to dinner. If you've ever been on a cruise, you know, they have the big buffet everywhere. You want to do that. But then dinner, you go to the dining room and it's a formal thing, whatever. Right at like 7 o'clock, we had dinner. Right when the Bucks game was in the just total white knuckle time, like when they were driving at the end of regulation. So I've got my little cell phone flipped up on the table in horizontal view. Everybody at our table, you know, you sit in a big circle, but the phone isn't 360. So everybody at our table sitting in like a horseshoe with one side completely empty and the other side, all of us, watching the Bucks try to beat the Panthers. And meanwhile, we're putting in orders for, you know. And by the way, this is one thing I love about cruises. Everything is already included. You can eat whatever you want. So they give you a menu. There's no prices on it. You go to dinner. Hey, you want an appetizer you like? Cool. What about another one? Get two or three. It doesn't matter. You can get. I got three entrees one night just because I wanted to try them all. It doesn't matter. You can get. So that part's fun. And we use that to the hilt. We're sitting there watching it. And nobody else in the room, like if you're in Tampa or something, at least you know other people are doing the same thing. We're on this in this cruise ship dining room. And when they get the Anthony Nelson fumble was the one moment where we actually made enough noise that other people at other tables started looking at us because, like, totally unexpected. Like, even the game-winning field goal we kind of were braced for and expected the Bucks to make it. But when the Anthony Nelson forced fumble happened, our table erupted and everybody's, like, looking over, like, what's going on over there? And we're just hooting and hollering. And so, luckily, I was able to watch the game that way. Although, again, I don't recommend it. It's what we had to do. And I have never in my entire sentient life, ever since I was like a toddler, like that I even could like see and hear and understand things, never once have I been disconnected from a Bucks game, ever. I've either been at the game or I've been watching it on TV or in those blackout days back in the 80s and 90s when they wouldn't put it on TV if it wasn't a sellout. I listened to Mark Champion on the radio. I listened to Gene Deckerhoff on the radio, whoever the play-by-play guy has been. I've never once just not been like in touch with a Bucks game if the Bucks are playing. And I'll always find a way. But it was dicey on this cruise ship because, and some of the really big ones now, like the super ones, have little sports bars in them that specifically do put sports on TV. This one was a nice ship, but it wasn't one of the new ones. So this ship was like the second class of size. It didn't have a sports bar, but again, Wi-Fi package, baby. Well worth the money just to make sure we got it done. And same thing, we're watching Georgia Tech, Georgia on Friday night. There was a lot of great football games Saturday. Florida State, Florida was another one we were freaking out about. Had to watch it at the dinner table with our cell phone, but it all worked out. And so we'll see how I end up watching this one on Sunday. Not that I ever root for my kids' baseball team to lose, but let's just say if they have an early game on Sunday morning and they happen to be trailing, I'm okay with going ahead and getting along with it and moving on and maybe getting over to RJS. Weather should be beautiful. It's warming up a little bit over the weekend, but still won't be hot. And it should be a great chance for the Bucks. It'll be a test, I'm telling you right now. In fact, I think there might be some betting trends that play against the Bucks in this one. I'll post those on my Twitter feed or Blue Sky. They're both the same, at Bobby Game Day. Email me if you want to. BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. That's BobbyGameDay, BobbyGameDay@Yahoo.com. So that's it for the free stretch for this week. It's been fun. I want to thank the Joes at JoeBucksFan.com for giving me the platform. It's the single best place anywhere, TV, radio, internet, print, whatever, for Bucks coverage. One-stop shopping. It's all you need. It's refreshed multiple times daily. Thanks to the Joes for giving me that platform and putting me in front of all of you guys. Thanks for listening to you as well. And look at that. Somebody calls me when I'm trying to play my exit music and interrupts Everybody by Black Box. But thanks to all you guys for listening. I hope everybody had a great holiday this past weekend. I hope everybody has a great weekend coming up this weekend. Be safe. Have fun. Whether you're going to the game in person or watching on TV or whatever, enjoy the beautiful weather. Enjoy all the football. Conference championship week Saturday. Week 14, the NFL on Sunday, and we'll be back next week, hopefully talking about a 7-6 football team. But until then, be safe, have fun, and wherever you are, good morning, good afternoon, good night, and go Bucks.